This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call. The answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
Hi, this is Lester Hamlin, your Montgomery Farm Bureau Director from Montgomery County, Audubon Township. Save 10% at Granger by being a member of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Granger provides free shipping on orders taken over the internet. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today to start receiving your 10% saving from Granger. Brought to you by Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means saving.
Toys. Michelle's Pharmacy on the Square in Carlinville and Gillespie has the hottest toys this Christmas. They're open late during the Gillespie Holiday Sparkle and during the Carlinville Christmas Market, and Michelle is discounting all Melissa and Doug toys 30%. And you have to pick up your very own Elf on the Shelf, the number one toy this year. They're going fast, don't wait. That's only at Michelle's Pharmacy on the Square in Carlinville and in Gillespie.
It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI FM 106. First of all, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. December wheat trading at 8.56, up 7. March wheat trading at 8.70.5, up 6.75. December corn trading at 7.51.5, up 4.5. December corn now trading at 7.51.75, up 4.5. March corn trading at 7.55.75, up 4.5. January beans trading at 14.34.75, up a dime. March beans trading at 14.20.25, and that is up 8. The overnight crude oil market, 6 cents higher at 87.80. The Brent crude, 3 cents lower at 110.89. The December gold contract, $2.80 lower at $1,746.80. The U.S. dollar index, 0.066 higher at 80.317. On the Chicago Board of Trade Monday, December wheat ended at 849, up 1.25. March wheat ended at 863.75, up 2.25. May wheat ended at 870.5, up 2.5. December corn yesterday ended at 7.47.25, up 1.75. March corn ended at 7.51.25, up 1.5. May corn ended at 7.48.75, up 2. January soybeans yesterday, 14.24.75, up 6. March beans ended at 14.12.25, up 9.25. May beans ended at 13.92.25, up 9.5. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 431.70, up 31. January meal 426.90, up 35. March meal 418.30, up 40. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 49.27, up 23. January oil 49.58, up 26. March oil ended at 50.02, up 28. December oats yesterday ended at 3.68.75, down a quarter. March oats ended at 3.85.25, up 2.25. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. And to consider in this report. Consider all changes in this report are from last Wednesday, November 21st. And to continue, the Illinois Country Grain prices ended slightly higher on Monday afternoon. Wheat futures were supported by export interest along with the dry soil conditions in the western growing regions. Soybean futures received a boost from the export sale of soybean oil and good demand. In northern and western Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 6 cents stronger at 727 to 743. Soybean bids gained 13 to 16 cents at 1386 to 1407. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents stronger at 735 to 756. Soybeans gained 11 to 16 cents at 1404 to 1420. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up mostly 6 to 10 cents at 723 to 763. Soybeans advanced 16 to 19 cents at 1424 to 1440. And the wheat bids mostly 5 to 6 higher at 829 to 840. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 14 to 16 cents higher at 1435 to 1445. Basis ended steady to 2 cents lower at 10 to 20 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $3.80 a ton to range from $4.49.70 to $4.54.70. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 6 cents at 747 to 759, with basis steady at option to 12 over December, and the dried distiller grains on Monday offered at 254 to 265 per ton. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 6 to 11 cents stronger at 743 to 752, with basis steady to 5 cents stronger at 4 under to 5 over December. Soybean bids were up 10 to 12 cents at 1420 to 1425, with basis down 4 to 6 cents at 5 under to option January. And the wheat bids for July 13 delivery, they gained 6 to 8 cents at 826 to 829, with the basis steady to 2 cents lower at 33 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 6 cents stronger at 702 to 759. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 14 to 17 cents with quotations at 1445 to 1447. Soft red winter wheat gained 4 cents at 838 to 839, while the Milo ranged from 707 to 708. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. January bids for corn range from 730 up to 754. January soybean bids at 1391 to 1406. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 745 up to 762. January soybean bids at 1410 to 1424. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 732 to 773. Soybean bids for January delivery at 1419 to 1443. And the wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, those country elevators offered at 810 up to 829. That is our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from yesterday, December hogs ended at 82.47 unchanged. February hogs ended at 86.97 down 40. April hogs ended at 91.50 down 40. December cattle yesterday ended at 128.40 down 55. February cattle 132.40 down 32. April cattle 135.85 down 60. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at 147.35 down 52. March feeders 150.10 down 32. And April feeders 151.55 down 40. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's livestock report. And first of all, in the eastern corn belt on Monday afternoon, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 79 cents higher for the day. The base price for a 200-pound carcass ranged from $72 to $75 even, with a weighted average carcass price of $73.55. From the Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar report on Monday, trading there was sows traded unevenly steady with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $50 up to $54. 4 to 450 weights at $51 to $54, 450 to 500-pound sows at $52 to $56, 5 to 550s at $54 to $59, and heavyweight sows over 550 pounds range from $55 to $60. Lightweight boars under 300 pounds were at $28 to $35, and the heavyweight boars over 300 pounds were at $10 to $16. On the Illinois direct trade on Monday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grades, barrels and gilts weighing 220 to 290, traded at 49 to 53, with a few head at $54. And Illinois movement of hogs on Monday totaled 12,802 head. From the National Box Beef cutout values on Monday afternoon, prices were slightly lower for the day. Choice carcasses weighing 600 to 900 pounds, down 22 cents, closing at $196.11, while the select carcasses weighing 600 to 900 pounds dropped only 14 cents, closing at $174.03. On the estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection on Monday, estimates for cattle slaughter ended at 121,000 head. That compares to a rather large 129,000 last week and compared to 126 last year. Hog slaughter rather average at 433,000 head. A week ago, 435,000 head, and compared to a year ago at 432,000 head. That is our afternoon livestock report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from yesterday: for butter, 168, down 1. For block cheese, 182 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 177 and a half, up 3. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending yesterday, 2073. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, $7.37. For January, $7.43. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, $7.37. And for January, $7.40. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, $14.19. For January, $14.14. Wheat delivered to Scottville for November, $8.06. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $7.37. Corn at Scottville, $7.37. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.19. And wheat at Scottville, $8.06. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday. Brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Whether you're in municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services. Your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at CTEM.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois for your Tuesday. High temperatures in the upper 30s with light and variable winds. Tonight, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies and warmer. High temperatures in the upper 40s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures in the mid-40s. High temperatures in the upper 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 21 degrees under mostly clear skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by EnviroFoam of America. In our farm news today, on Monday, the Macoupin County Farm Bureau and the Illinois Beef Association hosted two Chicago-area legislators, Rita Mayfield of the 60th District and Thaddeus Jones of the 29th District, through the Adopt a Legislator program. Both toured the cattle operation of Larry Rhodes west of Carlinville. Representative Mayfield was impressed with the operation.
It's awesome. I really learned a lot. It's coming from an environment where we don't have very many farms, no livestock at all, and seeing the operation just from the calving all the way up until where the calves, the steers and bulls, I want to make sure I'm using the right terminology, are shipped out. I mean, it was just truly fascinating how, and it was just so efficient, and everything that they had here just made total sense.
Have you been to a farm before in that, say, a hog farm?
Yes, I did. I visited the Claus Hog Farm, and they are truly my favorite family. Actually, when I went out there, I had a conception of what a hog farm would look like, what it would smell like, what it would be like, and they totally blew me away. It was absolutely nothing like what you would read from some of these reports that are out there as far as, you know, the smell, the cleanliness. It is a very well-run farm. It was, oh my God, it was so clean. It was just totally unbelievable. The family was really, really friendly, and it was more than one generation, so they're passing on that knowledge. They're not just keeping it to themselves, and I think that's important because we do want to pass that knowledge on, you know, to our children, to our grandchildren. We want to keep these farming traditions alive.
Would you recommend, say, other legislators from the Chicagoland area come to a farm like this or the farm like the Clauses to learn more about agriculture? Because you do have a lot of votes on agricultural issues in Springfield.
I think it's essential that legislators who don't have farms in their community or don't have many farms, especially for those that don't have livestock, to come down here to visit, to see firsthand what's going on, to see the operation, to get a chance to meet the farmers so that when they do get that piece of legislation in front of them, they can make an informed decision. The last thing you want is a legislator voting on something when they only have one side of the story.
Let's turn the road around and go the other way. Have you hosted legislators from the downstate area in your district?
I most certainly have. Macoupin County rocks. I have the greatest farmer ever. Oh my God, they came up to visit me. We gave them a tour of the Lovell VA Center. We took them to Abbott Laboratories, who has a small agriculture piece, and they talked about how they used to use some of the agriculture that they purchased themselves to make medicine. We went to WMS Gaming. I know that's kind of a far stretch, but just to see, you know, for those that are interested into the casinos, the video gaming, how those components are made. We had lunch out at the Yacht Club, and it was just really nice to get them out of their environment to see what it is that I do. You know, that way, you know, we're broadening everybody's, you know, perspective.
You know, that's interesting that the Farm Bureau has come up with this Adopt a Legislator program. It has really worked in Illinois, hasn't it?
It has definitely worked. I think it is a great idea. I look so forward to coming back down here, and I'm going to come again. I'd love to bring a group of kids because I want to share this. I want to pass this on. I want others to feel that same excitement and passion that I've all of a sudden got. You know, I never imagined that farming could be this awesome.
That was Rita Mayfield of the 60th District visiting the Larry Rhodes cattle operation west of Carlinville yesterday. Our guest on the AM Live program Monday morning was Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council. She talked about some of the fundraising programs they have for schools.
Some of the programs that we've been offering this fall is a program called Dollars for Dairy. And this is a program that's actually a grant for school nutrition directors. So it helps to provide them with funds so that they can start maybe something like a breakfast program or expand their breakfast program, or they can purchase something like a cold bar, which helps them expand their dairy options for breakfast and lunch, or even to help them start a smoothie bar. So that is, you know, usually we do meet with school nutrition directors and let them know about this opportunity and also, you know, just work with them to make sure that they have or they've thought of different dairy options that they can include at breakfast and lunch. And then we also have programs for family and consumer science teachers when they use dairy foods like milk, yogurt, and cheese for cooking in their kitchen labs. We do help to reimburse for that, so we can make sure that dairy is part of their cooking activities as well. And then we have a new program that we've been busy getting out to the schools in this fall, and that's called From Your Local Farmer to You. It's an elementary program, and it actually shows a local dairy farm. So kids are really taken on a virtual tour of a dairy farm, and we have little activity sheets that go along with that. So that's those are some of the programs that we've been busy working with schools on this fall.
That dairy farm program, that must be really interesting. How long did it take you to put that together?
You know, we worked with an agency who helped us with that because it does take a little time. You know, it was, as I said, a local dairy farm in Bond County, Illinois. So they went out and they did a lot of the shooting and editing for us. And then after that, we were able to develop the activity sheet. So I would say it probably took, you know, 3 to 4 months to pull that all together. But it was an interesting process, and I think it's a great opportunity because, you know, so many individuals today, children and adults, don't know a lot about how their milk is produced. So this is actually a video that helps tell the dairy story and, you know, lets them know about the importance of dairy and also the hard work that so many of our dairy farmers do.
Have you been in the classroom when they first show that video? What are the kids' reactions?
You know, that's something I have not. I've been so busy placing it that I haven't really done that. We have shown the video for different programs that we do because we also have an adult version. And again, I think it's just interesting because so many people don't realize what's all involved in for dairy farmers in actually producing milk. So I think it's something that they find interesting. And the other thing is it makes the point, you know, that so many people in agriculture today are interested in local and local foods being produced. And dairy is very much local.
And that was Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council, Monday's guest on the AM Live program. In other farm news, opponents of antibiotic use in food animal production contend that antibiotics should only be used to treat sick animals and only under the direction of a veterinarian. As it turns out, the nation's veterinarians often recommend farmers use antibiotics to prevent disease in the first place. Dr. Christine Huang is Assistant Director of Scientific Activities for the American Veterinary Medical Association.
Our association actually really advocates a lot for those prevention uses because they're really important to a veterinarian to ensure that we have that safe food supply. So if you can imagine, as the animal goes through the slaughter process, you have to cut. You know, you have to cut into the animal, you have to remove the bowels. And that's the source of fecal contamination in the carcass. That's where you have the highest source of foodborne illness. Things like Salmonella, Campylobacter, E. coli, those are the things that people get sick from.
As a veterinarian, Dr. Huang contends there is truth in the old saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Beyond the obvious food safety benefits of antibiotic use, she says there are a number of reasons to continue promoting antibiotic use under the AVMA's current judicious use guidelines.
We always want the animals to be healthy their whole lives, because if you wait until an animal actually gets sick, you're going to probably have to inject the animals individually, so then you have a animal welfare concern, you have safety to the individuals that actually have to treat the animals, you have the issue of treating the animals with potentially a higher dose of antibiotics, a stronger antibiotic, potentially drugs that are more commonly used in human medicine, and all of this is for the benefit of the animal as well as the humans and the human food supply.
Consumer groups and animal rights organizations frequently promote legislation or retail campaigns to limit the circumstances in which farmers can use antibiotics in animal production. Dr. Huang says farmers and veterinarians have actually been working to reduce antibiotic usage for more than 20 years.
I think that's something that we've been doing for quite a long period of time. The AVMA actually started our judicious use principles in the early 1990s. We've had multiple committees working with the FDA, the USDA, the CDC in implementing these species-specific judicious use guidelines. We've worked with all of the species groups and the livestock organizations to ensure that the drugs are used judiciously for both animal health and human health. I mean, we all know that if you use antibiotics, you have that potential for developing resistance. So, you know, we're trying to protect both animal health and human health. We're, you know, we need these drugs for our own use as well as to protect public health.
Critics claim that on-farm antibiotic use has spurred an explosion in the prevalence of antibiotic-resistant superbugs. Dr. Huang says the science simply does not bear out activist claims of a linkage between the two.
Actually, the studies that have been done have shown that, you know, for example, C. difficile, which is a very important resistant infection in human medicine, would show that it's a resistant human infection. So things like that, XDR-TB, the MRSA, things like that, they're human-related resistant infections having nothing to do with the use in livestock production. So those are the direct relationships that we see.
Dr. Huang spoke on the issue of antibiotic use in food animal husbandry during the Food Dialogues event hosted in New York City by the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. To join the conversation and to see videos of those discussions, visit fooddialogues.com. Some reminders on this Tuesday morning. First of all, the first hay auction of the year will be held on Saturday at the Madison County Ag Auction near Fosterburg. That will start at 11 o'clock. Students studying for a future in the beef industry have a shot at 10 scholarships of $1,500, but the deadline for applications is fast approaching. Submissions for the CME National Cattlemen's Foundation Scholarship must be postmarked or received via email or fax by December 14th. The applicants must demonstrate a commitment to a career in the beef industry through classes, internships, or life experiences. John Lacey, National Cattlemen's Foundation Board of Trustees Chairman, says the future of the beef industry is represented in the students who are studying to be a part of it. He says these scholarships support the work of students dedicating their education to keeping the industry viable. Creative uses for the humble corn cob have come a long way in recent years. Today, the harvest byproduct is used in everything from animal bedding in laboratory settings to a filler in cosmetics to polishing bullet casings. Last month, the Andersons Incorporated secured the title of the largest cob processor in the country after purchasing cob processing facilities in Lincoln and in Mount Pulaski. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning about 9:32 from Sorrell's Farm Supply in Raymond. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat is trading at 8:56, up 7. March wheat trading at 8:71 and a quarter, up 7 1/2. December corn trading at 7:51 3/4, up 4 1/2. March corn trading at 7:55 3/4, up 4 1/2. January soybeans trading at 14:35 1/4, up 10 1/2. March beans trading at 14:21, up 8 3/4. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Envirofoam of America.